I told, somebody's really excited about this. I told Reese last night that I had the sermon this morning, and she offered this bit of advice to me. After you say good morning, and everyone else says good morning back to you, tell them you're going to talk about cupcakes. That was Reese's advice this morning. We are not going to be talking about cupcakes. Could you imagine a world if... Imagine what the world would be like if children made all of the decisions, right? Reese didn't know what my lesson was going to be about, but it was a really good introduction. Can you imagine what the world would be like if children made all the decisions? Well, first of all, ice cream would be served with every meal. Ice cream might be the meal. Certainly wouldn't include vegetables, right? Vegetables would become illegal. Showers probably once a month. In my house, that would count as a pool shower, right? Brushing your teeth also would be optional. There certainly would be no bedtime. There would be no need for dressers or closets because all clothes, both clean and dirty, could just be stored on the floor. And there would be nothing like there's too much television. And sermons would be about cupcakes. That would be what would happen if we were to follow the advice of children. There's a story in the Bible about advice, not so much children, but about young people and advice. In 1 Kings chapter 12, you probably remember the story. It's about Rehoboam, right? So Solomon has died. His son Rehoboam has been made king. And Jeroboam comes with other people to Rehoboam and basically he says, "Your dad was pretty hard on us. Will you make it easier?" Right? That was the question that they asked. Rehoboam says, "Give me 3 days to think about it." You remember what Rehoboam does in those 3 days? He first then goes to talk to the elders, the older men who had served as advisors to his father. And you remember the advice that they gave? They said, basically, do make it easy, right? The people have had a hard time under your father, so let's make it easy on them. And then he asked the advice of his friends, younger men. And their advice was quite the opposite, wasn't it? And so you recall that what happened is Rehoboam took the advice of the younger men, and as a result, things didn't turn out very well. The kingdom split partially because of that, partially because of other things. But all of this makes me think of a passage in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it from him. And we're not going to talk about discipline. We're going to talk about the first part of that. And that is foolishness being bound up in a child and advice that can be given, right? Because in the story of Rehoboam, what happens? Rehoboam, instead of listening to the people older than him, Rehoboam listens to the people his age or younger. I want to do something a little different this morning. It could fail miserably. It could be interesting. I'm not sure. I need two under 20 volunteers. Two under 20. Maverick, it's not going to be you. Okay. Let's see. Malachi and Cooper. All right. Come here. I need you to. You're going to have a job now, and you're going to have a job in a minute. I want you to pass out to everybody who's older than Maverick, a piece of paper, all right? I was going to go with people who are over 30, and then I thought about Haley and Jacob, and then I remember Jacob announcing Haley's age, which I won't do again, but we better include Haley and Jacob in this. So if you're over the age of Jacob, you need a yellow piece of paper, all right? We are going to talk about instruction to younger people. Instruction to younger people. The Bible actually offers quite a bit of instruction to younger people. If you think about it, we all were once young people. And so there certainly is some instruction that... Did we have enough or do you need more? Okay, you might have enough, you might not. If you didn't know, it's about 40% of the group that I did a little count. I got a couple more. There's about 50 of us here, and about 20 are under 20, and about 30 are over 20. And all right, you guys got it? If you think about it, there's about half of the congregate, 40% of the group this morning that this will pertain to, and then there's about another 60% of us that we're going to help. All right, so let's start by looking at instructions to the young. The Bible has quite a bit to say about instruction to young people. And you know what? Let's get some help with some of these verses. So if you did not get a yellow piece of paper, you're under the age of 20. I have some verses I'd like you to read. Let's start and let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And if somebody would, let's read the first three verses there. Ephesians chapter 6, I need a volunteer to read verses 1 through 3. And just, if you're under the age of 20, you can read it.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth.
I'm glad that was my daughter who read that, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is really foundational for the instructions that are given to young people through the Bible. The first is, obey your parents. We look at the Ten Commandments. One of those Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. The commandment given with promise. And what's that promise? That promise is that it will be well with you and you will live long on the earth. So one of the first instructions given to young people from the Bible is to listen to your parents, obey your parents, honor your parents. But it's more than this. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. So if someone, when you get there, again, under the age of 20, if you would read 1 Peter 5 and 5.
Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
All right, thanks, Maverick. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we learn that younger people, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to listen to, obey, and honor our parents. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 tells us, likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, elders there doesn't mean Bob and Dwayne as the elders of the congregation here. It means those people who are older than you. So not only do you have an obligation to obey and listen to your parents, but you also have an obligation to listen to and submit to those people who are older than you. Now let's move on to Titus. And this is a little bit of a longer verse, but it breaks down, and this may not be children as much as it is younger adults, but in Titus chapter 2, someone read for me verses 4 through 8. Again, under the age of 20, read the verses 4 through 8. Titus 2, 4 through 8. All right. So now these are some very specific instructions. I don't think this is so much to children as it is to younger adults. But it's interesting that at the end of these, both of these passages where Paul writes to Titus and tells him what individuals should be doing, he starts in the first few verses of this chapter talking about older men and older women, but then talks about younger men and younger women. At the end of the discussion of both of those younger women and younger men, it's interesting. Younger women, why are you to learn all of these things? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. And why is it that younger men are supposed to learn all of these things? that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You see, as young people, we're not only supposed to obey our parents, we're not only supposed to obey those that are older than us, but why do we do all of these things? We do all of those things so that we can be an example to those around us, so that they don't have anything evil to say of us. Now, these are just a couple of the examples of the instructions that the Bible gives to young people, but it's quite different than the message that the world gives, right? The message that, well, and even natural, the things that youth are naturally inclined to. Is it natural for children to want to obey their parents? No, it seems as though what may be natural is to rebel against our parents and to rebel against other adults. This certainly is a message that some of the world is teaching. But we often think about what is maybe a message that some are sending to young people, and that is such as, sow your wild oats now, right? Do all the fun things now, because then when responsibility comes when you're older, you won't be able to do all of those things, right? Live life without a concern for the consequences. I might remind you of something that God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 relative to this idea of live life to the fullest, live life however you want when you're young, while you don't have a lot of responsibility. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes, of course, written by Solomon, the wisest man that's really, other than Jesus, that's walked the earth. Verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Sometimes Solomon writes in a little sarcastic. I think that's kind of what's happening here in the first part of verse 9. Solomon is saying, go live your life, young man. Just do whatever you want. That's the motto of the world, isn't it? But then Solomon reminds us and reminds the young of the world that know that all these God will bring you into judgments. There are consequences, right? There are consequences to decisions that we make today that will affect us for the rest of our life. Youth is not necessarily a time to sow wild oats, but youth should be a time to develop good habits. So I need some helpers again. We're going to read three verses that talk about that during your childhood and when you are young is when you're supposed to develop good habits to serving God. So let's start with Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Someone read that for us.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
All right. We sometimes think of this as a passage talking about parenting, and it certainly is, right? That as parents, we should teach our children how we want them to be, and if we do a good job at that when they're old, they're not going to depart from that. But think of it in the other way. Think of it as a child. If you are taught and you do the things that God would have you to do when you are young, the likelihood that you're going to continue to do those when you're old is pretty high. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Someone want to get there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. One more verse.
Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scriptures, to preaching, and to teaching.
All right. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy's a younger man, probably a little older than Reese, probably a lot older than Reese. Maybe about the age of Maverick. I'm not sure we know exactly how old Timothy is at this point. But Paul tells Timothy, Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But instead, what's Paul tell Timothy to do? Be what? Be an example. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Youth is a time for us to develop good habits. And Paul gives some very specific things that Timothy can do to be an example, to develop good habits. And that's verse 13. Give attention to reading. Give attention to exhortation and to doctrine. Pay attention to those things. All right, one last verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember, the idea here is when you're young is the time to develop good habits. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. All right. Now, if you know about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, what's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 about? Is it about being young? Dwayne's pointing at himself. Okay. Well, I was going to say it's about being old, so I guess you own it, right? So Ecclesiastes 12 is about growing old, and yet it starts by saying, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And why do you do that? Because difficult days are coming. Prepare yourself now. For when difficult days are coming. You know, there's a common saying that hindsight is 20/20. The meaning, of course, of that is that as an event is over, generally we can look back on it and understand better about that event than when it was happening or before it was happening. There's another common saying, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Ever heard that saying? Right? The meaning, of course, of this is that we can learn from the mistakes of others to help to avoid them. Eric said something interesting in class this morning. Eric, in talking about 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, sometimes the best way to learn is from doing it wrong. And there is certainly some truth to that, right? But there's also truth in learning from other people's mistakes. And the Bible describes it this way, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We're given the stories of the Old Testament to help us to avoid similar mistakes. And likewise, there are quite a few older adults here who have a lot of life experience, who I suspect have made a lot of mistakes in life, who can guide the young out of many of the problems of the world. So, if you're over the age of 30, I have a question to ask you. I have a couple of questions to ask you. So, if you're over the age of 30, raise your hand. Over the age of 30. That's about 60% of us. Do you have any regrets from your youth? I don't necessarily want you to answer out loud. I just want you to think about it. Do you have any regrets from your youth? Let me ask another question. Maybe it's a similar kind of question. If you could go back in time and change something in your life, would you do that? And if you would, what would it be? I don't want you to answer it, but I want you to think about that. Do you have regrets from your youth? Are there things that you did or said or didn't do or didn't say that you wish you would have? Are there people who you associated with who maybe you wish you wouldn't have? Are there things that if you could go back and change, would you do that? You know, there's a fairly popular Christian music group called Mercy Me. I don't know if some of you may know them. Maverick, I know Maverick knows them because Jay asked me what the title of my lesson was, and Maverick was eavesdropping, and I told him he couldn't spoil the sermon. They have a number of popular songs. I tend to like their songs. One of their songs seems to resonate with me. I know it resonates with Maverick, and it's called Dear Younger Me. If you haven't heard the song, here's some of the lyrics of the song. The premise of the song is the guy is talking about, I'm going to write a letter to my younger self, right? So, dear younger me, where do I start? If I could tell you everything that I have learned so far, then you could be one step ahead of all of the painful memories still running through my head. I wonder how much different things would be, dear younger me. The second verse. Dear younger me, I cannot decide. Do I give some speech about how to get the most out of your life? Or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you've made? The choices that you'll make, because they're the choices that made me. Even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smoother ride, dear younger me. So, if you have a yellow piece of paper, now's the time I want you to help. I want your help. That whole song was really just about, if you had an opportunity to write yourself a letter and change something, what would you do? What would you change? So if you wrote a letter to your younger me, what would you say? So if you're over the age of 30, I want you to, or Haley and Jacob, I put 30 in there, and I better include them. All right, so if you got a yellow piece of paper, take it out, and I want you to write a message to the younger you. Now, I want to share with you what we're going to do with some of these, right? This isn't a message to the youth today, right? So I'm not wanting you to write a, hey, this is a message to the kids in the congregation. That's not what it is. This is you saying something. What is the one thing you would change? What would you do different? What message would you give to you? If this could some way make it back to you when you were younger, what would it be? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to write that down, and then I'm going to get my helpers. If you want, just hold your piece of paper up, and I'm going to read some of those. Because you think about the 40% of the group here who's under the age of 30. 30 years from now, they're going to be you, right? 30 years from now, they'll be the older people. I think I'm 41. And I think, man, I'm not really all that old, am I? But I know that Paige and Reese think I'm old, just like I think Mike's old, you know. But so think for a minute. I want you to write a message. Keep it short because I'm going to read some of them. Now, before I read the notes, younger people, in 30 years, that's going to be you, right? So I want you to listen to what the older people are saying to themselves. All right, where are my helpers? Who are my helpers again? Cooper? All right. Cooper and Malachi. All right, if you got your piece of paper done, and just hold it up and they'll come get it from you. Or are you still writing? Some of you have a lot to say to your former self, huh? Okay, we've got a couple. We'll give them just a minute. And like I said, this could be valuable. This could be not valuable. I don't know. I think it just kind of depends. Cooper, there's one all the way over there. All right, last chance. All right, Cooper, I'll take him. Oh, get one from Theta. All right. I guess I should have said, try to write legibly so I can read it. All right, we got a lot, so I won't read all of them, but let's just read a couple of them, all right? And I totally ran them. So keep in mind, the idea here was this is older members writing to their younger self. So if you're younger, think about the advice that is being given here. How important is it to keep God first in your priorities? Be less selfish. Guard your lips. Treat others even better than you would want to be treated. Talk less, listen more. Listen more carefully to your advice about the dangers of life. Worry less about what others think. Make choices with God in mind at heart. Listen more to those older brothers and sisters. Be willing to change quicker versus being stubborn. Stop trying so hard to please others. Please God first. If others don't like you or accept you for this, don't worry. Focus on eternity. Be more caring. Wait on the Lord. Trust in His will and be true to yourself. Choose your friends wisely. They will be big influences in your life. Be more patient to grow up. You can't go back and learn life lessons, so learn while young to be kind, compassionate, and filled with integrity. Some of you have terrible handwriting. You'll never regret choosing to spend time with your family. Pursue all possibilities. Respect your elders. You're not as important as them. Not to be so arrogant and to think I can control my desires of my own strength. Don't give in to peer pressure. Be true to your beliefs even when all around you think you are wrong. Don't get too discouraged when friends are hard to find. You know, it's interesting. I didn't know what kind of comments I would get, and so I thought I better write some down in case we don't get any. And it's very interesting that the kind of advice that you would give to your younger self is the same kind of advice that I would give to my younger self. I'm going to take just a minute and tell you a couple of those things. First, you will be challenged. Most people in this world will not share your beliefs. Some will be civil, others will not. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. We walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. God told us long ago that this was going to happen. That if you have your beliefs in God, people are going to speak ill of you. Be prepared to defend the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, study to show yourself approved. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think this is what Mike's trying to do with our memory verses with our kids, isn't it? Right? Know the Bible now so that when you get in that situation where you have to defend the truth, you know the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than to do evil. The second thing I wrote to myself was, be friends with other Christians. And, you know, more often than not, a non-Christian will pull a Christian down than a Christian will pull a non-Christian to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 tells us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. It doesn't work the other way. Good habits rarely will make the evil company better, right? It does happen, but it's unusual. Don't assume that people have the same values as you do. And don't be afraid to pull the plug on a bad situation, whether it's a bad date or a bad party. Sometimes, when things go bad, the best thing to do is leave. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And maybe just a little bit more specific, only date other Christians. God's plan has always been for His people to marry someone who is part of His people. One last thing And again, I didn't know how this would go, so I'll just finish with this. The last thing that I wrote was, you are not alone. You are not alone. And think for a minute. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted to beyond that which we are able. But the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God tells us He's not going to put us in a situation that we can't handle. And that situation that we're facing, someone else has already faced it, right? There isn't anything that you as a young person are dealing with in your life that someone in this room has not dealt with directly or had a very similar experience. All right, Galatians chapter 6 and 2, what does it tell us? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is a perfect example of how we can do that. I didn't have a really good ending point to the lesson because I didn't know what kind of feedback we would get. But, you know, if you're a younger person, there's a room full of older people here who are willing to help you. Willing to help you not make the same mistakes that they made and that I made. And it's kind of a two-way street, isn't it? We should be, as older Christians, willing to help and mentor younger Christians, and younger Christians should and younger people should also be willing to seek out the advice of elders. The lesson doesn't lend itself to an invitation except to say that if you have a need, it can be taken care of, right? Whether it's primary obedience, whether you need to confess Christ as your Savior and be washed in the waters of baptism, we have the opportunity to do that. Maybe you found yourself sowing some wild oats and you need to make yourself right. You have an opportunity to do that. Or maybe if you want to identify yourself with the congregation here, you have that choice too. Consider your soul as we stand and sing a closing number.